West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the 135 Footy Show, joined by my Uso, Simon Armani. How's it going, bro?
Yo, what's up? Yeah, good, Uso. Good to be here, brother. Yeah, now it's been a good fucking good week for sports, man. Hey.
Yes. Oh, good weekend for sports. I'm sure you haven't stopped grinning since Friday night.
So, looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to good Talanoa, a lot to get. To get over, bro. But yeah, man, thanks for having us.
Sick, yous. Beginning of the World Cup. So yeah, NRL doing really good to be able to still shine at this finals period with the kickoff of the World Cup. Catch any of those games, bro?
Of course, yous. What are you? Are you all right? Are you okay? Like, I know you guys were missing Johnson, bro, but it still would have hurt. Like, did you expect that was a bit of a fucking dagger in the? That was straight. That was almost a pounding, eh? Like, that was one
we'll
of
We'll get into it. We'll like, get into that game, mate.
Let off some steam, kind of a performance, bro. But
I think so.
We'll get into a little bit about that later. But I was split like 50-50, man. It was. I had a good chance of having a great weekend, bro. But I was just. The All Blacks brought me down after that high with the Broncos. Also, you know, so I was like, I was 50-50 with my teams, man. Broncos are up, ABs are down. You know, even still, bro, fucking some amazing elimination finals, boss. How about those two games, bro? Both come down to the 1 point.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's what those four games look like. It looked like two teams playing sudden death, two games of sudden death. And two games where you got teams who knew their life.
1 point, bro.
Yeah. Before we get into the reviewing each of those games last week, I'll ask you a question now, and I want to see your answer at the end, just how confident you are. Do you see anyone other than the Penrith Panthers and Broncos in this year's grand final?
At this very moment in time, nah. On the evidence that we've been given, throughout the year, and I think those teams even went a little bit next level as well on the weekend, just to, you know, stamp a bit of authority, bruss. Still given Warriors missing, that's a big asterisk on the game, bro, because but I just think like what Cleary did elevated them that little bit extra, bro. My Panthers, like as I said, even though the Warriors missing their best player, I still thought that Panthers come a little bit extra, is like showing a bit more. And how good was Cleary, bro? I think maybe without his second man there, he probably took it upon his shoulders to yell it out there. I thought both sevens stepped up, and that's why I separated these teams, because you're looking at the two best sevens playing at the fucking peak of their powers right now, bro. And Reynolds just loving this platform the Broncos forwards are giving him. Cleary just, I don't know, bro. I just felt like they were in control. Warriors probably wouldn't have fought as much, a lot more of a better kicking game. I think they were brave, but just on attack, they missed Johnson's kicking game for sure. But in terms of what they had to deal with, fucking Cleary was carving them up. Cleary just went to elevated next level, man. His stats were off the chain, bro. Running in over 100 meters. He was combining on both sides. Had a go at the line. And I think he was stamping his authority to say, hey, man, we're going to make history. Three-peat. First team in a long time. So, yeah, bro. Like I said, entertaining elimination finals, but interesting. I think this week, these other teams got to go to that level, go to the next level. Like, a Warriors capable, one not only beat the Flying Knights, but are they capable to produce are something on the same level that the Panthers, the Broncos got to offer, because whoever wins that game, I don't know. I don't see them doing too much against the Broncos at the prelim final at Suncorp. But I don't know. What about you? I don't want to jump ahead to that Broncos game, bro, but...
Yeah.
Once you get your ticket, you just never know. And Broncos are almost, I don't want to say hoodoo, but they give us problems, bro. They've got a pretty decent record against us at Suncorp. And I remember a few losses watching that game live up here. So it would be a fucking awesome game if the Broncos win this Newcastle game, boss.
Yeah, you guys are putting yourselves in the best spot possible. Starting off with that Storm game, last Friday night, Stace and I picked it as a Storm win based on that long history. But, man, the boys showed. Gordon Tallis talked about it. You know, just this playing group, there's a bunch of boys there that, you know, the history, you know, everyone talks about. They weren't there. They weren't the guys playing. So, yeah, the game, the Storm, yeah, real hard watch. I think they came out with just the wrong attitude. You picked it, bro, last week. You said, you know, it was going to be a grind. I thought the Bronx would get right into their work and just start throwing the ball. But, no, it ended up being a grind early. But a grind that the Storm, like we said, you know, they'll just stick in it and wait for the mistakes and pounce on it. But man, they were messy. They were so un-Storm-like, and just almost a sense of privilege. Just the way they were playing, like the way Harry Grant, just the ill discipline. That's kind of what came across to me, was just just entitled, just going out there, like just started grinding. And then started expecting things to turn their way. So with some of the calls early in the game, just the old discipline, just the attitude, you know, kind of, just almost, you know, looking agrees like, you know, they're losing the 50-50. But, yeah, definitely not playing like a team. Just expecting things to turn their way. And just not Storm-like, kind of keeping the pressure on. They were real messy. Bronx were too. Like, I think that's promising for you guys to know that, again, in a good performance, you weren't 100%. Like, there were a few drops, a few missed opportunities. Maybe that some of that was rushed Melbourne defence as well. But, yeah, messy from the Storm. You don't see that happening again next week. But, yeah, those kind of stood out. Just playing like they were entitled, the way the Storm were coming across, and just
Did they feel entitled, or were they on the back foot? Because did we put them in a situation where they're not used to, you know? And it goes both ways, bro. Yeah, you might say they're not on top of their game, but is that a result of what after the pressure that the Bronx applied, bro? Because man, you know how proud I am is I know how much points we've got in our artillery, but the performance of that forward pack in the opening 20 minutes, bro, just said to me that the Broncos are willing to do the dog work to win games, bro, and willing to put in the effort to be in the arm wrestle. We betted it out last episode with Stace saying that, and Stace is probably right. I kind of backed the Broncos in the arm wrestle, not knowing, like, we haven't really been to too many of those style games, whereas the Storm were renowned for that kind of football. And brothers, I thought our forwards just fucking gasali done, bro. The fucking opening 20 minutes between Fletcher and Haas.
Flegler was huge. But like, Flegler was huge Ricky throughout the game.
Ricky and Capewell just led that line speed on the outside in. So it forced their fucking... it forced all their runners coming back on the inside. And Carrigan was just eating up all day, bro. I thought Fletcher had one of his best games of the season, bro. Just his line speed-wise... And then Haas, bro, he's just, man, how good was. He's just carrying on. He's been playing at this level for a long time, bro, but just that dependable, you know, hard runs, on with momentum runs, he's so dangerous because he's added an offload in his game. But just his fucking pure engine, and he had some big minutes, but he made some crucial... we're also happy about this game because they toughed it out, bro. The Broncos showed a little bit of finesse. Just a couple of those tries is hard to defend because just the speed of the ball and the brilliance of Reynolds with the speed of Rhys Walsh. But it was the Fords that set that up, bruh. And that's why, like, both teams, it's scary, bro, because it's so, both teams, Panthers and the Broncos, just have different styles. But, like, when it comes down to it, those are the kind of style of footy, origin style of footy that's going to win you games. It's defense, the line speed, defense. And, like, as you said before, we made some errors, and you get that out of some of these players, bro. They're young, inexperienced, but they give it a go, bro. But it's the being able to turn around and defend these errors, defend these penalties. We haven't had the ball for a while. That's right. So just fucking tuck it under the take card carries and line speed, bro.
I think that's probably the biggest takeaway.
Brian was quiet,
for yourself as a Broncos fan. Mm. I think you know, Melbourne weren't Melbourne, you know, that maybe, yeah, like probably the pressure, but the donut, to give Melbourne a donut in a game like this.
But that spine. Like, yes. Look at that spine, bro. Munster, Hughes, Grant.
Exactly, yeah. So that's a full-strength team. And maybe there was a bit of confusion in bringing in Paps, kind of, you know, how they worked that in.
Yeah.
But I think the defense, like, yeah, you got to give credit when it's due. You know, their attack was a bit off, but no excuse to get a zero in a big game. You know, turn up and show, have a showing. But
I thought the big fella was good when he came on, bro. He was one that
Asofa.
Yeah, he made a difference, but he was alone. I mean, you look at this lineup, bro. Welch and Rush and Tui. You know, my bro Tui, Kamikamika, you know, he's a good player, but he's, you know, he's tough. You know, him and Watch is not good. Watch is not good. Welch is tough, but brass. He was fucking soggy, Payne Haas, Undies, and Fletcher. They were all over him, bro.
Yeah.
They were all over. He's running sideways. That's what you do. This is what you call a complete fucking Casali. That's why I said Casali. These guys, no one ran over 100 meters, I don't think. Trent Lauro, who was having nightmares out wide.
Oh, Liero was out horrid.
Wide. Him and Katoa. And Katoa was too involved fucking letting Rhys Walsh get up his thing, bro. He was all right, but.
Did you see that image and someone put the you remember when To'o got that try celebration and they did that thing with him and Liam Martin and he holds him up like a thing. And they did a like who did it better and it's got Katoa holding Rhys. Bro, I don't know what he's, but why'd they keep showing that replay like that where he's just holding him off the ground?
I thought it was a tough call on Trent Katoa when he applied pressure on Rhys Walsh and he even caught him.
So he did it for me. Yeah, that's the thing.
Hollywood one.
Yeah. lying on the ground like that.
That's a Broncos fan. You should penalize Rhys Walsh for doing these Hollywoods, bro. Because it's over the top, bro. Like, Katoa's doing his job.
He's at a good season.
On these dangerous players, bro. But see what you do? One little. He hardly fucking touched him. He even caught him before he hit the ground, bro.
Exactly. Milking these penalties.
You're gonna get this shit out of the game, but I think the Melbourne Storm just allowed Broncos to get up their fucking. They couldn't handle ones, bro.
Yeah, I think it was good to see Katoni step up. You know, he had an awesome game. I think Katoni's been due.
Well, Reynolds, cuz. So you know what? You look at this fucking team, right? Any of these guys will beat anyone on their day one on one with the ball in hand. Katoni, Herbie, Sal and Cobbo, Ezra Mann, Rhys Walsh, even Jesse Arthurs, bro. This is like the job of Reynolds. When you get these guys flying onto the ball, open space, one-on-one, they're hard to beat, bro. Speed kills.
Oh, Reynolds is, yeah.
On the roads.
The thing. Like, that's what's so good about Reynolds as a maestro. Well, we spoke about it before. Like, just he knows when to give, when to, you know, when he knows that the boys are a bit tired at the back. I don't know if it was the Storm. Plus, like,
Bunnies would have won a couple down, of fucking premierships if they held on to him, bro.
Yeah. But I think it just shows the work Walsh does. So, you know, they talk about, you know, Billy talked about the work he does off the ball. And that zero scoreline is a lot to thank on him. So he probably wasn't as Reece Walsh in attack. You probably didn't see much of
that. He did some bot shit, bro. Like, so he scored a try. He set up a try, but he just gave away some dumbass penalties as well. I made some errors in the play of the ball, I think, in one. But yeah, this concentration thing, I'd rather him knock the ball on having a go, like trying to find an open man. But still, he continues to be that. I don't know, bro. It's just like when you got that hand, like just in case you need it, you bring it out. But like the Broncos don't want to rely on him and his brilliance. I think they're doing enough. They got with Reynolds and his kicking game. There's different ways they can score. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then when it comes down to it,
we also have the individuals.
Exactly. You've got Tony. Guys like that can make a difference. So, yeah, real well-rounded game.
Storm will come back though, bro. That's going to be an awesome game.
Yeah. Man, big point came out of that. Awesome to see Paps back in, but man, poor dude. Bit of a tragic kind of end. But you know what was more tragic? Like a minute before that, Xavier Coates tries to score a try, go by in the corner, and he's like holding his ankle. So he's like sliding his ass off the corner of the field
because
they're like too busy just like, yeah. And then like that happens to Paps. Oh, stop the whole world. Like, poor Xavier Coates still probably sliding his ass off that field. Like, oh, what a hell.
At that point, bro, there was a point where it's when Paps came on, and it was almost the same time as they had Nelson Asofa Solomona.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd made a big run. And then Paps got the next player the ball, and it was like just the way he glided around. I think he ended up hitting his outside, but he was just gliding around that. He just took the ball up, went across a couple of defenders and busted out wide. But it was almost like a test of, like, Broncos were playing at this high-speed tempo game, that one of these players like that in the middle, on the inside, with their footwork could really trouble you. I didn't think we were completely gone because when he came on, that's another point of attack.
Well, that's the thing. Harry Storm Grant, had moments, but then just lapses.
And even Munster. So Munster had some good runs, but it was like...
Yeah, yeah. So like that's the thing. Like, you look at that scoreboard, if you didn't watch the game, but, you know, it was... there was moments where you're expecting Storm to get back into it. Yeah. They started dominating in the middle. And then just dumb mistakes, just drop balls or just...
What won the game was... See that zero against the Storm? Fuck. Well, that's the effort. Defense, bro. The 3Ds. Oosh. Tackle. That's the one. You keep a team at... Give them the kongaki at this time of the year. How good. And that's... And like, Broncos... Then you give them a sniff of the ball and they can finish. Look at these tries, man. Stags, Walsh, Ricky, Cobo. Oh, yeah.
And Reynolds just opening them up. Deserved rest for the week three of final. Well, so next week. So after this week, you'll find out who you get to play. So well, what's the plan? Well, the like, what do you think the boys do during this week?
Well, the best of Paps in his recovery. So, cook you off. Man, no one wants to see that, bro. And especially coming off the patella injury, man. It's...
Well, they're saying that he might be back training with the boys in the preseason, so that sounds positive in the new year.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be a miracle to see him next year. I think it's something like that. We're close to 12 months recovery, but man, that was probably the worst thing that happened for the Storm, is losing him in that way.
They'll bounce back. What do you think the plans are for the Bronx this week? You know, it becomes a... You know, just healing up. Any injuries? Any guys that are concerned over that game that came out?
Nah, nothing I've heard. It was good. We were talking pre-game about maybe if it would have been better served to have them tough it out in the end of the year game, try to go for their minor premiership. We basically gave up the minor premiership to get ourselves into a position. And nah, man, just enjoy it. Like, you know, Walters and his team's done really well, and I agree. I'd thankful give up a two points during the season if I have a shot at with your big team beating the Storm, backing yourself to beat the Storm and then get into that prelim final and you know, from here on in, one more game, you're in the grand final, bro, and that's your lottery ticket, boss.
Exactly, yeah. You earned the cookies, mate. Nice. Sure, also, right, let's jump into, man, the second game, the Panthers-Warriors game. So, yeah, we took this one up. I think Stace went with the sensible bet. So he went Panthers with yourself, and I went with the heart and went Waz. Just thinking about the players they had in reserve and the possible game plan. But, man, you look at the last play of the ball in this game, pretty much sums up what happened in that game. You know, the Warriors just looked disinterested in that last few passes. Goes to ground. Nathan Cleary picks it up and just grins at them and just holds onto the ball, waiting for the time to tick down. Just, and that's the thing. So because it's Nathan Cleary and the way he played that game, I can't even be angry. Like, he looked at the Warriors just like, how dare you come here expecting to win? Like, you know, like Tupac said, you ain't even on my level. And that's how it feels. You know, Willie Mason has a podcast called Levels.
I love it.
We just got, yeah, pretty much out-leveled, unfortunately.
That was a wake-up
call. To your point that you just said about the Bronx, you know, that was the plan. Let's rest. Like, you know, we've earned the fact that we'll make a top four. So if we come fourth, ain't a thing. Like, let's rest our boys. Let's get them all fit, ready, and rolling, because we win this game. This, you know, then we get to rest, and we deserve the, you know, good run into the finals. So that was the plan. Last minute, Johnson, you know, this calf injury comes up, and I think a lot of people, and you look at the way the Warriors play, that was.
How do you think? Was the heart sink. You proud of the way the boys went? Some silly errors.
So a few little discipline things there, but like, just in terms of the levels, the boys went out there. You know, they had a game plan that it started. You know, at the beginning of the game, like always, you know, it stays level and you kind of go head to head. Then the Panthers just, you know, just that back three, you know, kind of our kicking wasn't right on, and so they're catching it on the 10, catching it on the 15. And once you're getting those kicks short all day, Edwards is carrying, you know, that first 15, 20 meters.
Yeah.
And then Taruva and Toa are like guaranteed the next 10. So you just,
yeah,
it's just giving yourself a real hard day. And that's what, it was meant to be a grind. But you look at that game, 20 minutes in, the boys look gassed. Like,
I was impressed with, they're going back on the back foot, but like, just how much, they keep showing up. Guys like Shans, Nickel Klockstad, Martina Zelizniak, Rocco Berry, Pompey, Montoya.
And there's a thing like
Montoya's rocks and diamonds because on the ball, man, he's so off the back fence of his carries. I love that in a prison, bro. I love the fact that you like, just, you know, put the fucking pedal down and just hit that ball up before you got. And Montoya, he's all guy like that, bro. He doesn't care, but he's got like a. He's got an error in him. Almost like one of games, almost, bro. Pompey's the same tools. But I like Dallin. These guys have got the ability to do what Panthers can do. They can bring in the ball out of their own end. If you got Johnson kicking from the 40, 30 meter line, they'll take you apart because their forwards are pretty tough. Forwards wise, it was just. Forward-wise, I thought Warriors matched up, but once Penrith went to that next level, they couldn't match up with them because, as you alluded to, the backs did a lot of tough work for them, and then the forwards, they could just
Moses and Fisher-Harris, so you generally like just on that fourth, and they'll maybe only touch it, like, have turns. Like, oh, you take the fourth this time, or you do.
What impressed me most about the Panthers, maybe Liam Martin
might jump on that last. So there's just so much attack, like you spoke about, like how the Broncos have it. I think that's one thing that we'll probably take a lesson. And it's not a bad thing. Like, knowing that our attack all falls on Johnson just means, similar to the Sharks, so it's something that we need to work on. But it's not a bad thing. Like, it just means that it's unfortunate that a lot comes down to him. So I think that's the thing. Like, execution wise, that's kind of what was missing. And you know, you need a perfect game to play the Panthers, but yeah, just a real...
You play them again, it's going to be in the grand final, right? So you put yourself into that position. Let's just play Britain, right? Yeah. The miracles happen. You go on, beat the Broncos up there at Suncorp, get your tickets to the grand final, you beat them again. You're going to play them again. And John Johnson's available. You got all your stars available. How are you going to beat them, bro? How are you going to score tries? And where?
Yeah, I think it's just playing that Ford game. So the Warriors' game plan is very Ford dominant. So almost a little bit opposite to theirs, where they come the Ford, you know, their backs are making all those meters. So we kind of, you know, you'll have Montoya or Dallin taking a run, but we don't kind of do that consistently. And so you get Fanua Blake a lot of footwork, and then to Tohu coming back to one of the other props.
Chans is so a hard worker, bro. He always eats up a hit.
And I think that's the thing, it's giving him a bit more time to, because he's taking a lot of those tough carries at the back. So it's how do we get him more closer to the ruck?
I think he needs to fucking follow his forwards a bit more, bro, and start sniffing out for those offloads, man.
I think it's, yeah, just game plan wise, I think he covers a lot too. So he's fit. I think, yeah, just, I think we are lacking center wise. Both
I think he's similar to Dylan Edwards' game. But just like not with his pace and not with his, maybe Edwards a little bit more in the work rate. But he's pretty solid on D, what you guys have.
Yeah, just
there,
the wrestler, I think.
And some good finishes.
He's
and
tough.
DWZ. But I've been saying this all year, and that you guys got the forwards to get your ball, and you guys got a class halfback. Sean Johnson, who's like looked like he was coming into a form that really matched his ability, because he's always had the ability, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But SLA ability and SLA execution.
I think it's just his
game
smarts
to do it
now.
Consistently, this year has been the first year he's done that, bro. And it's been kicking on point.
Yeah.
But also
his kicking game,
taken to the line
been
and been a threat
so good.
With the ball in hand and some good assists. I just think with Penrith just almost showed the fucking premiership that their whole don't forget about us, man. They went to another level with Cleary combining a lot. Cleary running, bro, and just being a threat. There's a beautiful try he got. He glides.
Oh, man, he was threatened to
right.
do that. Yeah, three of the tries they scored.
And then there's no really where to go. The fucking tackle looks like it's going to finish. He fucking pulls a late offload.
That's how they got three of their tries.
As soon
as the
big fella does a mean drawing pass. Bro.
Oh, buddy, yeah.
Like 2 meter pass.
Yeah, eat ass.
And I think it hits Toto on the chest. And Toto just finish.
Just steps in and scores it easily.
Guys, that's just the brilliance, bro. And to have a go and to offload. He loves playing the Warriors. He's a Warriors junior, bro. Remember his love? Fucking Ellerslie. Your dad's a coach. You go to trainings and watch these boys.
Yeah, yeah.
You idolize them. He's seen Sean Johnson. So he's living it up. Every Warriors game, he brings it. I don't know. It's that game's like, but what? Oh, you got spanked. Let's segue into.
Well, I think that's the thing, when it comes to
against
that.
Against the Knights. Hey, bro.
Oh, we'll get to that, mate. We'll get to that. We'll segue into that later. Before we move on from it, your take on Jerome, everyone's going in. I thought it was a bit of a fun banter. It's kind of people
pass,
just having a go at him.
Up the pass. I loved it. And I think Penrith rugby social media team shared it, maybe?
Did they share it? Is that
they
how it got
their own?
But
this is the thing, bro. It's almost like representation of what's happening in fucking society, bro. It's this cancel culture, cuz. So now, like, I thought it was like chop nuts on Penrith. Like, why the letter for, bro? Like,
they put it up and then took it down.
It's this is what you need to do. The clubs need to fucking engage, bro, with the community.
Yeah.
Get the banter going, cuz on the level of how that could be offensive up the pass. It's like. This is a one.
It's not exactly. Was it offensive?
Why are you butt hurt? But you know what? I think you know why? Because you're a Warriors supporter, and so there's some sensitivities out there that are, the first they are like bitching about the refs, now they're bitching about this, which I find really sad. Come on, New Zealand.
But that's the thing. Like, why'd they take it down? They scared of the fans. They scared of the fans.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, I'm disappointed that the Panthers.
Which fans are they scared of?
And you know what? With Jarom, good on you. Keep doing that, bros. Keep doing that, mate. That's good natured fun, bro. Yeah, which draws attention. He's a smart.
I think Peter's one was better. Peter had the up the Panth wires. So I'll probably give Pete a few more points than.
Jerome, what happens if you like come out like, next year and start losing? Will they still use the ones, or will it be like a come and gone thing, like one of the jerseys?
Nah, I think the ones will stick.
Hey,
I think it'll stick. Just kind of gets away from the Warriors.
Yeah,
I don't know where it came from. Did anyone ever get to the bottom of the ones? Sure, I'm sure Willie Mason likes it now after his big. Carry on about it. Willie's probably fine with it.
But the boys on the morning show, we're trying to find a. Oh, I'll get back to you on that one.
That's right. Tell them that it started from
the 135 footy show. I don't want to plug another show.
Started right here in the 135 footy show last year.
Would you prefer Warriors? Let's do a poll out there, Cams, on our social media team, if we could. All serious. Warriors fans out there, do you like the Waz? Or would you prefer the Warriors, you know? This is the thing. This is what cancel culture is. Speak up. If you have issues, speak up. Don't let the world... And if we can get back to this, I think the Panthers were fifth of back getting heat from other clubs or other sources that's just going to silence people. But I think... Social media teams and all clubs, it'd be good to be active against other teams, bro. And therefore, a bit of banter in there.
Yeah, make the fans look at it more. Yeah. All right, on to the two exciting games. Two games where teams were playing like their season were on the line. Man, this was a good game. Both were good. Sharks, Roosters. We all went Roosters on this, but when you watch that game, man, that last 20 minutes, did you think they had it in them?
Bro.
Once Joey went, once Wale'i was pulled.
The fucking Roosters were pure hard in that one. And if you look at the lineup, it was the brilliance in their halves that they got them home. Sam Walker had an amazing game. His form. In this last few weeks,
for these last 3 weeks, man,
it's almost given them a chance to, like, you know, just reset, be confident in themselves that this young kid can do stuff other halves can't do, like pull out tries out of nowhere. And if the combination of Kerry, if they can get it's they've got their backs to the walls, bro. But if their forwards can get them lay a platform. That'll be a pretty tricky.
Look at the workload Lindsay Collins put in again.
I think the combination of Kerry Walker and Tedesco, you got three powerhouse names there in that spine versus a Sharks outfit that was tough, man. And they looked really good at the start.
They were up for it, man.
Jindal's always fucking dangerous. These wingers, bro, doing amazing things, good runs out of their own half.
Nico, bro, going at the beginning.
They tease you because Hines moves the ball really beautifully. They're a beautiful looking team, but I don't know. I think they're just short. And this Hines is their source of attack and points. Yeah. Trindle's coming good, like I said, but I just think they were a couple of names short of people who can get it done in the tight games like that. I think Sam Walker actually took it early, didn't he? Took that one point with about 5-7 minutes out.
There was still heaps of time to run. So
and just back the defense. And it was kind of a dogged.
Yeah, it was Teddy got the first charge down and then Kerry got the second charge down. Roosters. So they just defended for ages, yeah.
That's right. And that's what they're going to do,
That's why I was gutsy, yeah.
With a game, with a team missing Hargroves, it's been such a awesome performance, man.
Well, that's where we
Butch Brothers kind of going awesome.
Caught it.
And Smith's got to stand up for them to be real contenders. Brandon,
yeah,
he's got to be a bit more of a potent in the ruck there. And if he can unleash Kerry and Walker, with some good service. There's guys like, I don't know, with the fitness sweating on Manu and Suwali, or with them, but...
Both gone.
Are they for this game coming
Suwali, up? Yeah, Suwali, because he's got a history. He's automatic 11 days. No so way. He's definitely out.
Manu's probably suffering that hammy, eh?
Yeah, and that hammy sounds pretty serious.
It's a disco, bro. If Tedesco can bring out the Tedesco of
everyone thought he was dead and gone for Origin, man.
He can win you a game, horse. So, like I said, bro, what do you think about this? They said this controversy of there's only 12,000 people at that game because it's a half stadium still being attendance. 12,000.
Yeah, that was pretty hard, eh? Like they packed it out, but that's all they could get in.
When you look at on TV and as a product, the World Cup had packed our stadiums. The fucking over here, the AFL are crazy with their stadiums. Oh, fucking really? 80,000-90,000 people, man, watching. Shucks. I don't know if they're up to finals yet, but that could be their regular season home crowds. 80,000-90,000, bros. So the Sharks, I don't know, they missed the opportunity. If the NRL wanted to really make a call, would have forced this game to go to a packed out Allianz Stadium or something like that, but they didn't want to give up their home ground, which is another thing. Yeah. But I still thought the game was, as a TV product, you don't know if it's packed or not. Like, we still had a, because it was an elimination final. Well, both games, eh? It's just that tightness, bro. It just comes down to these halves. If they can do the kicking game. And if you come down to like a fucking tight game where you need to fucking drop kick, you know, you have to have. I mean, we'll rip into it the next game. I can't wait to talk about the next game. I thought that game was even a higher level. But this game itself, it's just, I think because of the tightness of it, I was disappointed with the Sharks. They can't score more than 12. I don't know, like guys like.
That was one thing.
Just become battering rams rather than,
I think their game plan, I think, their game plan is probably something that hinders them as well. Because they're so flashy. Yeah,
guys like Ramian and Talakai, I haven't seen too much of them. Yeah. That, Hines should be trying to get those guys one-on-one. I mean, Talakai on his day, bro, he's up there, bro, with the best centers.
Oh, they covered him, though. He got some early ball during this game, and they had him covered. So,
Using him as a battering ram, it's like...
Yeah, without letting him really ball play. Yeah, exactly. He's just, most of his ball, it's just but, run through them.
I mean, you look at their lineup, he had Manu, Billy Smith was Billy solid. Billy Smith
coming into his form as well.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good.
So, you can say, Case, they just got outplayed. Walker Kyrgios was...
But well, that's the thing. This is that Roosters team everyone kept saying. On paper, they look awesome. And now they're starting to show it on the field at the right time of the year. And it's at Shark Park. I mean, that's the thing. As much as it's only 12,000 people, that was 12,000 Sharks fans pretty much. And so for the Roosters to get up behind everything against them, that was a...
It's almost both teams are now falling into place on paper-wise where we'd expect them in the competition.
Yeah,
Roosters have done really well to almost resurrect their season. It's week two of the finals and they're still in there.
That's where experience comes from.
Fucking a lot of decent teams that missed the eight. So for a team that was quite poor in the first half of the season, it's not all doom and gloom in that club, bro. Coach has managed to get this team. You question some of his decisions not to bring back Walker like a lot sooner. But there's the kettle there. They got the kettle. They got the fucking same numbers to meet there to play decent footy. Whether they can go on with it against a fucking hurting Storm, it's gonna make it for an awesome game. And that's another rivalry. That's going to pick up. So it's going to be tough with our Hargroves, bro, but you just never know. You never know. Storm are hurt. And these guys are confident now. I think they're on a run. Six.
They're about six on the trot now. And you think, again, this is the caliber of their coach. Not long ago, this was the same coach. who was in the same position as Ivan Cleary.
Potentially they're like almost flying under the radar.
Yeah. And now they've come into the season where experience counts.
They're becoming the Whanganga Mayors of the finals season, if you look at it. Because, like
and
I said, man,
all about adversity. Yeah.
That's really a fucking coin toss for me. Was, Storm versus Roosters. I'm looking at this team. A lot will depend with the availability. Like, as you said, with us all, that's huge out. Because they're already missing...
well, that's what they were missing, eh? Genuine back. So it'll be interesting. Yeah, Daniel Tupou's is still out as well. So.
Yeah, that's right. Injuries have hurt them, bro. And fucking
genuine backs are going to be real key.
Stupidity have hurt them. With him firing, that would have been mean. I mean, with Hargraves, Radley, Brendan Smith, Lindsay Collins in the team, brass.
Well, I think, yeah, those forwards probably dangerous. Even out now, even out for the Storm. So it's probably... benefits the Storm that their forwards weren't firing and probably.
I almost think they even up, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Storm, for me anyway, in terms of like those players that can bend the line with their runs, man,
they've lost that idea.
I don't think you've got like ball runners. Maybe the only one is
just a sofa
coming off the bench.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be close, bro, in the full battle, and it's gonna come down to these It's going to be an awesome game because look at the spine. This is top quality money going into the spine of Munster. These guys will be hurting. Munster, Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes versus Kerry, Tedesco, Walker.
So what are the Sharks?
Up in there, so Sharks, a little bit disappointing,
Yeah.
To be honest,
but they should be quite
ended up the same
like...
as last year. Probably a little bit better because they were 0-2 last year, which actually now worse off, you know, they're bottom eight, whereas last year they were in the top four. So, like you've been saying, well, year eight was a bit
punished,
of like bottom
punished the other
place
teams.
Bullies.
But you see how they interesting what they do. I don't even know who they're buying next year because you just can't put your finger on what they need.
I think they're a lot better with Connor Tracy. That's one of these fullbacks who do the work. Would you give Trindle and Hines another go? Like this, for me, there should be enough points in there, bro. I'm not too sure. Maybe the boys, I love these whistles, like Royce Hart, Rudolph, but I think maybe they're just missing a bit of sting in the forwards. Like,
I think, maybe the Hines Trindle. Just Hines seems more like a natural six. Like, he loves to run, but then that just kind of cancels out your...
You reckon he's not your man? So you're not saying, like, as the seven, as the organiser and orchestrator, he's not the one, of course.
Well, he can. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's an awesome, but I think that because of the way he plays, no one else can shine. Because he does, like, he is so good that he skips across field, and he can do so much, and I think... Well, yes, he's so good that when he hogs, he probably scores. But I think it just kind of nullifies what the others can do. And like you're saying, like Talakai, if he's skipping across field, by the time he gets it, all he can do is run straight. So maybe it's just
if you could make an argument for like a star-studded centre or outside back, imagine that Joseph Manu at fullback. End of this Cronulla Sharks.
Yeah.
Because I love Trindle. I love the fact that he's...
Maybe that's what they need, an out-and-out
fullback.
He can
ball-play if required. Whereas Hines, I think Hines is too much of a dancer, like goes up and wide. It's, I don't know. I'm like you. I think in Hines on his own is the dominant half. Maybe they're just not doing enough in there. Well, they don't seem like a team for me that can go to the extra next level.
Well, that's the thing.
The Broncos are playing it. Yeah. Where at times this year, the Warriors have lifted their game, elevated their game to. Even the Storm, they're capable of playing that finals elite, almost state of origin-like quality. Whereas the Sharks just seem to me like a decent premiership team, you know, a club team.
Yeah, but yeah, again, real tight one. But just gutsy from the Roosters. I think that was it was quite hard watching that game because it's kind of like the position seeing where they were, like that's where the Warriors could have grinded something. Like just seeing, that's what I wanted from the Warriors when I was watching that Roosters game. Like, yeah, just some of this grind. So I know they had the, I guess that probably plays on both the Warriors and Storm. I guess mentally you kind of play hard, but also knowing in the back of your mind, you've got a life, you've got a chance. So maybe that's part of finals footy too, is that you don't play your final too early until you need to, and these guys did need to. So, yeah, I think in terms of a game, you weren't disappointed. Like, you can't say the Sharks. Like, if the Sharks turned up like the Warriors or the Storm, then the fans would have reason to kind of have a sook. As far as, yeah, not going all the way, yeah, suck for them, but in terms of a season, the fact that you kind of finished your season and tried in that game.
I think on paper they got a better. They might have almost a better team than the Warriors. I mean, Warriors got some superstars, but they almost got some battlers as well in their team. Whereas the Warriors were able to play above their level, and the Cronulla Sharks just haven't been able to go from bottom end team to a serious premiership contender, which the Warriors.
Just consistency from some of their guys, like Ronaldo, he kind of fell off after last year's heroics. It's kind of he was being
still a good finisher this year. Finisher. I just don't think if you can compare wingers to other clubs, there's a lot of wingers out there doing some mean extra work up there in the hit ups, whereas he's just maybe on the skinny side of a winger, bro. That's just a bit light. Doesn't score.
Maybe the way he carries, he just is.
Oh, you look at fucking Tor, shorter than him, but just Tor's built for meters.
Tor's just different, he's just a fob, bro. All right, the final game of the weekend, man. Like you're saying, it just got better and better. You kind of should have been bedtime for most people because there's no one's team. But the Knights and the Raiders, bloody hell. You and Stace both went Knights on this. I was being a hater when I said Raiders, but man, if you watched that game, you could have forgiven me for picking the Raiders because they turned up, man. They turned up and they attacked that middle. Like their game plan, we kind of thought they'd be missing big pups and Horsburgh to suspension, but man, they turned up big time.
And they were missing those two.
Yeah.
Even makes it the performance even more amazing. I'm another one that was
huge.
I got far more on my face. Even though I did pick the Knights, I didn't see that performance in them, and they were in their fucking game, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, state the obvious, but man, you know, if Jamal Fogarty lost that game for them, if he done his job, they're winning. He had like three, four goes at the carry there, man. And he missed.
The even beginning of that extra time, I don't know.
And
why
two of them were like two or three of them were like touchdowns as well.
But before they did those kicks in that first set of extra time, they were within their 20, within their 30.
He turned down. He fucking.
And then
goes.
They got into the 10, and then they were like, "Oh, now we're too close." I'm like,
I think a minute and a half to go. He's fucking on the right hand side of the upright, bro. Perfect position. He goes for a fucking bomb to the wing, bro, and they turn the ball over.
Yeah, just trying to hold like try and get a awesome.
That was
win or
one
something.
Of the perfect times to have a crack at it.
What is Fogarty? Is he indigenous? He's got a bit of like the island in his maybe. Because that's really? Just a. Well, I don't know. Because what makes a person do that kind of play instead of just fucking?
Whoa, you've got to have a bit of.
I want to be flashy. White man can't jump. You know how he said. You're too busy looking good while you lose the game.
Indigenous here have no nous of where they are in the game, and they just want.
Yeah, he wanted a nice fancy finish. Like, I could go for a drop goal, but man, if this guy scores in the corner, gee.
Why would you bring in his background? Like these players are incapable of making proper decisions.
What made that decision? Why? Because you said I was just trying to give a theory. You asked, why would
Number
he do
one,
this? And so I'm just trying to answer your question. Was your question rhetorical? I wasn't sure if it was rhetorical.
You're the one that asked.
You're the one who asked. I'm answering.
I was wondering where you're going.
You're like, I don't know why he kicked. Yeah, see? So I'm just saying, this may be why he didn't kick. Maybe that's why he didn't take the drop kick and try to kick for his winger.
You see if this guy is part of a mob or what, mate? I want to know. And then I want to throw up Mick Tutter. Maybe he is. Then what?
That was gutsy by the Raiders, man. What are you saying? Stay in there.
That he lost the game for them. Well, I said that. Regardless of his background.
He didn't when he kicked down on the
they lost the game. They lost the game because as a halfback and as someone who runs the team, you should have creamed that off. Should have won that. And the Knights were still amazing, but like fucking how good was Ponga just toughed it out, like really the game was on its head and
there was those three tries in quick succession. Sorry, I don't know what happened to the Raiders.
Was the fucking the biggest thing coming out of that game was the old fucking bite the forearm. Gamble with his forearm.
He's in the mux.
But fucking Jack White. What background is he's definitely average. Nah.
Did you hear MG? You hear my guy is like
him being original and him biting down because his thing was funny too. Remember the ref pulled up and Gamble sold that shit. It's probably not even, but he sold it.
Especially of all people to bite, because that guy's already like an annoying little prick on the field. But instead of bite him, I'm going to show everyone.
This guy's got to buy a lot of tickets, because how lucky was he? He goes straight up to the ref like, he's pushing down. What do you want me to do?
Well, yeah, and that's what MG's going field? Like, well, if you put your arm in someone's mouth, what do you expect? Like, he put his arm in his mouth.
But I think he actually did bite down, and there was evidence of that. And he was so lucky, bro. And it was probably like fair enough that the Knights come away with it anyway, because I think he should have been. But the crowd turned after that, bro, and it picked up these Knights players.
Yeah, they just got on the bandwagon of it.
Ponga is playing at the peak of his powers, bro.
Well, and that was a turning point.
I really hope the Warriors win because I almost fear the Knights than I do over the Warriors with how they've been playing, winning a tight one in the Raiders. I still think maybe we've got the better pack than them. But what they can provide on attack can hurt most teams.
Just so quick when they skip out with to Bar, that. Phoenix Rosalind, man, we've been mentioning him a few times the last few weeks, but man, he's been huge for them.
How
the
good,
middle.
Bro? Yeah. Just his service.
And so it'd be good to, you know, now people are actually talking about him being a Kiwi. So yeah.
And you know, like we're talking about the levels before, but they've given old Wittemu Mason a bit of stick because he's saying how the Knights have that guy's spine without Ponga. And,
but there's a thing, they're
the only people getting butt hurt about it. But you look at, but these guys.
They fixed up their spine.
These guys
after they kind of had like wobbles.
Right now, Kalen Ponga has managed to do what great players do, is not only play at his level, but bring the rest of them up,
eh? Yeah.
And get people to play above with their capabilities. And we see it in Hastings, bro. Gamble always had his. He was always keen, bro.
I saw that in the Bronx. He always looked good, but he was just a bit I don't know if he's
their attitude, bro. Yeah. You know, he comes across, if you look at him, he looks like mouthy to players.
He's a fucking grub.
But if he just like runs hard, he's almost like a good backup on plays with front rowers.
He's big
that can
too.
Offload.
He's like a 13.
Yeah,
it's like a ball playing 13 looks pretty big.
Exactly, it's big body, and what they've managed to do is find Ponga space, and Ponga's just been killing it on that left hand side, right hand side defenses versus this Knights team.
Oh, you look how they start that game. It looked like it was going to be one of those Knights when they first moved. They just go Ponga best. Maju,
Bruce,
I was like, oh no.
Exactly, best in Maju.
See ya, Raiders. It's one of those Knights.
Those two have been dining out at Sky City Buffet. good fucking 10, 11 weeks. But not only that, like, on the right-hand side, like we were saying, how good
Dominic Yell.
Tyson Gamble's been going. They've missed, what's his name's kicking game. So it'll be good to Hastings.
Yeah, Jackson Hastings. Well,
he played, but the game coming up, if he can apply pressure, I think they've got probably a good variety of kicking game between him
Jackson
and Caleb
Hastings
Wonger.
Out.
And Caleb Wonger's starting to stand up a bit more now, take more of a kicking role as well, and share those duties. But like you said, people like Gamble just got to tough it out, bro. Just be a running six, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Let these guys ball play.
And he's big, yeah. A bit of mongrel.
It's almost you're letting Ponga be the six, and you become this inside. Because Ponga's like playing a second. Imagine, I don't know, like, for me, who's been a fan of league my whole life, but trying to understand it from a union point of view, because I've grown up playing union.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like these halfbacks now, these dangerous guys like Reynolds and him, are playing on the outside, second 5'8", and the first five is guys like Isaiah and the Panthers.
Yeah,
guys
yeah.
like
Tohu Harris
for the Warriors, and
just left those guys to receive the ball a little bit wider.
Yeah, for Knights it's like Gamble and what's his name, Jackson Hastings' job is to get Kalen Ponga outside the second five, drawing in the center. And just
Reece Walsh plays a very similar game, because then he just gets around and just speeds around that. Especially if you can get Reece half on that center and the second rower, because then that second rower is dying all day. Especially, so that's the thing. If you get those, if you change the play to play like that, then you got to make sure that these guys are ready to defend like that if they make a mistake.
Yeah, what Reece Walsh does on the right hand side. Ponga does on the left.
Ponga does on the left, yeah, yeah.
You know, you get these second rowers interested. These second rowers got to turn in. The center's got to turn in because the pure speed. And then these guys got the pass to open up on the outside, hit the winger, hit the fullback, or whoever it is coming around the back. But you're just really impressed, bro, with one, they're so dangerous because they're on the streak, and two, they toughed it out against a quality Raiders team, which... big props to Mauso Tuileoto, man. He's been an avid supporter. These guys toughed it out, bro, they played with their fuckles, man, their hearts.
Yeah, hard out.
And they were missing Papali'i. Tapani is. I thought they won
he
the
stood up,
game,
bro. That's well thought, bro. Watching
if
them.
If not
play.
Matched them. But these guys just played toughles.
Yeah.
Jorge Paporu coming out of the back, he was tough as well. Hudson Young, Tapani. Between those two, they did a lot to keep these guys in the game, man. And like I said, they should be fucking playing. They should be playing in that preliminary final. Jamal Fogarty didn't take his chance.
Man, every other kick during that game, though, hey, right on the line, he was perfect all night with the ball.
Mm.
Just his kicking game.
Yeah, that's the poor thing, too. He'll be remembered
for these
moments, bro. And it comes down to moments. I think
people forget all the mean work that he did throughout the game. He had some mean kicks,
just
getting
name.
The pressure.
They're probably like one superstar away, or at least one spine player who can offer a bit more on attack. And they're losing Whiten next year, so
yeah, it'll be interesting who they bring.
I think they're gonna make some moves in the off season to just to really stay up. Like I said, they got a good culture down there. They're able to grind and pound. They just want to get some fucking star-studded players that can score for them, man.
Just hard because it's similar to the Warriors. Like, who wants to move to Canberra? It's the same thing. It's a very far away way that you can't kind of stay with family. You've got to make a big decision if you want to play for Canberra. Same if you want to play for the Warriors. You're either come back to New Zealand, or you've got to, you know, you want to try something different and relocate your whole family and try and settle there for the next season. So it's the same kind of decision. So I think that's the hard thing, to kind of attract good players to the Warriors and Canberra, is just patient.
I think definitely they need another player in the halves there. You know, at least you got, there's not many quality halves going around. So, you know, you keep your Fogarty, and he done enough to get them to the eight. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You got your ticket today, and it really comes down to these star players standing up for their clubs. There may be one or two players short of going the next level
you next think year, that's but they've been a good club
that's fought it out, eh, bro? Mm-hmm. And these last few years managed to play at a decent level to tough teams, make teams fucking bring it in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of team, that kind of culture, with the way the Panthers kind of showed up in that last game and kind of, you know, the salary that Panthers have to deal with, you reckon Jerome Luai would fit into something like the Raiders?
Fuck, bros. Did you just open up a fucking can of baked beans now, man? Because I didn't even think about this team, bro. But, man, if I'm Ricky Stewart, I'm definitely thinking about someone like Jerome Luai. Like I said, bro, in the also here, Jamal Fogarty, I don't care where he comes from. He might be, you know, a bro, one of the cousins, but he done enough to get you there.
Yeah, having Jerome next to me.
Everyone improves those.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you come give him an opportunity like that to ice the game, he'll do it again next year. So imagine him and Jerome Luai, bro, who
should be a good move for Jerome.
I love it up and up, but he's a tall old and he's getting old.
But same kind of, yeah, like he's got a similar attitude like Jerome, so they'll probably be best mates.
Who's this? They need to find themselves a fucking speed fullback and get Luai, offer Luai, give him his mil.
Yeah, I reckon they could afford it.
Give him his mil, he'll come. And then you can say, they've fucking got a quality team now, man. They've had, like you said, bro, you got to mention their good culture down there of making, consistently making the finals.
And just maybe tough team. Like, I think Luai would love.
Too much of it.
They were leading a tough team. Imagine Luai behind a tough forward pack like that. You know, just playing tough footy as well. He could, break open a back line just like, boys.
And Tapani, probably he's got another maybe 1 or 2 years in American. Tapani, Hudson Young, they got some good
The decent forward
pack. Good forwards there, bro.
Let me have a talk to Ricky later in the week and we'll see what we can try and do.
I love this guy's press conference in sales. He backs his team, bro. I wish I had a boss like Ricky Stewart, man.
Yeah. All the outside stuff, eh? It's just about them. Like, no.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter what you talk about. My boys, you know, I got them all the time. All right. So, let's talking of contract talks, Homoli signed for $6 million, man. Olakatu. Yeah, Olakatu's new contract. Yeah, $6 million.
Are you serious? You're breaking it down, bro. When did this come out, man? I didn't realize this.
Oh, you know, it's inside, man. You got to get in the ground, mate. You got to work hard to find out this information, man.
We'll get up on fucking... Is this official, man?
Yeah, he re-signed with the Manly. So they're quite top-heavy. Some brown paper bags happening in Manly
What's he on?
So it's a new $6 million contract over 7 years, I think. Wow. Or maybe over 5 years.
Almost $1 million.
Yeah. So it's quite a big contract. So you think that plus Schuster's new deal.
Are you serious? Cavs, is this for real? DCE. Bring this up, man. What's it put him on? Man, Manly definitely has some brown paper bags up in there or some what's going on?
Yeah, like, so that's the latest awesome Volkaratu, but
he's on fucking 800. Like, where's this Cooper coming from? Fucking thing's definitely on $1 million. Jake and thing
Trevor's both over of them. Million.
Jake is close to it too as well, maybe. Well, I hope so. But sorry, bro. Like I said, and being a toko man, good on you, my bro.
Get what
you can, man.
It's always good just, hearing and seeing these guys.
You do the hard work. That's where you get the plums, man. So congratulations, brother. In terms of doing your squad and being a pretend coach, bro, you know, you look at this Manly team. Yeah, it's interesting times ahead for them. Where do they start investing in? I quite like it, bro. There's some of these young forwards that have potential but haven't really play to their best consistently. So maybe it's a good sign from the club to say, hey, man, we back you. We got you. Yeah. The same thing with Shushta. Everyone's questioning his fucking salary. And it's, for me, is I hope they don't get this shit, get to their headspace, because it's like, so what? It might not even be true, like the figures, but be proud, man. Like, fucking, I always say it, man, your life as a professional footballer is not long.
Yeah, yeah.
And, set yourself up where you can. Get to that money, man. Yeah, but I think he's well with it. He should be. Mm. Well, you don't know what's going to happen when Freddy's selecting the team, bro. But surely he's due for a turn. Got some good second roles there, but
yeah, I think.
Well done, bro. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. The prank gone wrong on Instagram. I don't know if you follow Valentine Holmes on Insta.
Totally, what's going on here? And then pulled it back down. Man. Down the U-turn. Like, oh, this is what we're going with now. It's pretend.
Exactly.
I was just pretending.
I want to post something and then. Oh, no, like, jokes. Yeah. Jokes. Sorry.
And put it just on your own story.
Like, yeah. Was it his own story? I thought it was like a leak from a friend or something.
No, so he just posted on his story and then. Bus. So, I mean, this is the ultimate of fucking errors coming out of your own end.
Yeah.
You've fucking given up the ball at kickoff and they scored. It's so huge in terms of, well, he just fucked up. And so now he's going with this.
It's just annoying, you know, for a team that's kind of been kicked out of the eight.
Mm.
Just stay out of the papers. Just go train hard now. Like, why give yourself, like, at least come on air like, oh, yeah, we know we're just relaxing. But to get airtime for this is like, guys.
It's poor, like.
You came off a muffled season. You guys.
If it was America, like, he'd lose a lot of sponsors, you know. And that's what these guys were like. Someone like him, he's a superstar. So I don't know how many.
And he's not young. Like, he's not like Reece Walsh, just learning the first time.
Under him. But just in terms of your IP, your worth as an athlete, you know what? For me, I don't speak for the world here, like. Man, I don't see vodka in your mouth. Like, yeah, I know you're fucking rolling in it and can go and have a nice time, but I'd rather you, like, kind of compare to the common man while you play. You play for the love of the game.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to see that life.
Yeah. Well, especially as a bro, like a cookie. Like,
apparently, he's going to fucking get out of this, bro. Because,
They don't hopefully he gets off. Hopefully, they just. They don't because there's more important footy on at the moment.
They don't test in the off-season.
Yeah, that's right.
We also, it could be Masima. He was cooking pork.
Cooking pork and he didn't have that blue or red table salt thing. He just had that to kapinga his Masima. Yeah, it's just a terrible look, like just the stigma around it. Like, even if it's like, even if he is using, it's just like, guy, like, bro, like, why?
Keep that shit undercover.
I know. That's just failed. Like, whoever's supplying him is like, don't come to me, bro. I don't know you. And talk to me.
We all know he's on it, man. Matty Johns, Andrew Johns.
Yeah, it's just but
please, man. I want to be on it with them too, man. See,
boy, so that was just
show off like that shit on us. But I like the Panthers. We're talking about like social media stuff. You ain't seen Jerome Luai be in the dog box like that. He's done controversial stuff.
Yeah, just his words and kind of like he's speaking almost out. Like
what what's his name? Kyrie Irving is in the NBA. Like, just have his own view. That's not the same as
what everyone else wants, I don't want to say normal people,
but not the same. Let's say not the same as mainstream. But fucking love characters like this also, man. You know, we don't know. You know, he's from West Side of Sydney. Like, we don't know SAR. What we have to face as Samoans, but I still respect the fact that he's Samoan. He's still like. Represents his family really well. He's a young dad, but he's an awesome dad. So you see all of that in his social media as well, bro. But you don't see none of this Mevalea shit like some of these kids get themselves into trouble. Yeah, see what Gong Benty was doing at Dylan Brown. Like, and I love you, Dylan Brown, but you got caught slipping with your hands in the cookie jar, man.
Like, I think that's one thing, though, like, as much as the...
You fucked up. Yeah. You fucked up.
I think this is what... as much as it's annoying, it also is a reality check that these kids... Like, because I guess people put so much pressure on these kids, you know, and to... You know, coming into finals and, you know, you expect this professionalism. You know, we'll go all in on these players that are making silly mistakes until they come on social media and you realize, oh, shit, these kids are only 26, 27. Like, they're still kids. Like, dumb mistakes in an environment they're in. But, again, they're after you've had a few, they're just kids with a lot of adrenaline. And, yeah, so as much as there's pressure and big-time footy, yeah, I guess it's remembering that, yeah, they make mistakes. But, yeah, hard one for Val. Like, I love Val, especially as a Queenslander.
No, awesome, I wouldn't count it against him as a player. Still an awesome player.
Yeah, yeah.
But what? If that's Massima, I don't care. I don't care. Like, you know,
well, I guess he gets off. Yeah, there's no one's going to test him.
If he does get penalised or whatever, cancel culture.
If he comes back next year and he's Kaya,
what's he done?
We're going to blame it. We're going to blame the Massima. Comes back next year and he's Kaya, we'll blame the Massima.
It's not news.
I was hoping the boys would jump on last game of the season last week for the Isaiah Kalava Memorial Team, the Wise Guys, on Sunday.
Oh, they finished up?
Yeah, yeah. So the boys had the last game on Sunday.
Oh, well done, Usos.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd it go? Good.
Yeah. Another loss, I think. I don't think the boys...
How many games has that been?
I think it's five or six in total. Maybe
six. Oh, awesome. Usos, big shout out. Yeah, yeah. So who's playing, man? Drop us some of the names, man. Some consistent players.
So we had, consistent players. We had
yourself?
Tully.
Have you Tully been there every game?
Yeah, mate. Turned up every game. Tully turned up. Fingal and Api. Yeah, bro. Rog bailed out early in the season. Last couple of games he missed out. Mans has been injured. I don't know. I think he's injured for Masters but can still play rugby.
Poor Rog. That's poor Rog. I just want to say that unofficial. Fuck, that's awesome, man. Oh, that one. You say is also.
Stacey, you know, James Stace.
Yes.
So he's been playing for us. He's been consistent. Yeah.
Shout out to Stace.
Solly's been good, man. Nah, yes, it was good for the boys. Bob Savalier, Solly Bob came played.
He missed the first game and then played the whole season. Dumb man.
Yeah, Solly, and he's good too. He didn't get any injuries, but he's putting on all the shots.
Was he? So,
yeah.
Coming out of the line, eh?
This guy just do those after he played the first game and realized he it's all right. I just have there's no one stepping, so he's just smashing people. Like,
was he?
Yeah, this guy just
man, I'm disappointed. Bobby hasn't come on here, man. And you know what? Podcast world out there.
We'll jump on live for the grand
Bobby
final.
Here is a fucking just encyclopedia machine
of
facts and stats. So I look forward to you, Bobby, coming one day, bro, and sharing yourself, mate. But he'd be keen and ready for this game coming up, Bales.
Yeah, man. All right, let's break down these two games that are coming up. The first game Wednesday? Friday night. Storm Roosters. You're saying it, bro. This is, especially finals time. These guys with experience. Storm coming off a real bad loss for them, especially in finals. Bellamy, man, Bellyache was... He didn't, you know, cut his words. He pretty much just disgruntled at that press conference.
He was going off all game, man. That last game.
Yeah. He's just looking at it like, well, yeah, I don't know what these guys... Yeah, it's interesting, eh? Like, the way his style of coaching, it must be just pretty much like, get them prepped, and then it's all them. Because that's how he just talks. Like, I don't know if they want it. Like, it's up to them. Because I guess he knows, like, there's not much as a coach you can do further. Like, you guys know what you need to do, and if you guys don't do it, what can I do? So... Yeah, Storm coming off a real, real big loss for them as a team. And the Roosters coming in after a real difficult one. Man, what are your initial thoughts on this, especially with two experienced finals teams?
Oh, huge game. It's almost like a toss of a coin. huge in for Melbourne is Justin Ollam, and I was quite surprised
they didn't go with him. Well, Tony Moipia gone because, man, he was showing up out. Big time. The way he played,
cut him in half, deserved
it. Yeah, I felt sorry for Tony Moipia.
Twice, he was giving him nightmares.
Good, but, man.
He's trying to shoot out of the line, too, to break. Yeah. That's what you got to do.
You got to make that.
Finish off the tackle.
Yeah.
Remus Smith is another one who I thought, man,
Remus.
He's decent, bro. So they're missing him. Marion Seve's still in there. And Warbrick and Meany, so they're a big out. Xavier Coates with that
really nasty, ankle injury,
and obviously Ryan Pappenhausen. So I don't know, bro. Close.
Who comes on the bench? Are they bringing in Falo?
Nah. Well, who is he in? No. They got forward rotation. They're not even named him in the possibly in the reserves. That'd be interesting, but it's a forward rotation of McDonald, Eisenhuth, Asofa Solomona, and Tarek Sims. He's gonna be huge.
Showing their hand already.
This force, I was saying, like, these guys are toilers without, like, Tui gives his heart, but he's not a big knock the door down kind of. He's just consistently makes his tackles.
He's a big version of Marty Tapau. Like, he's just old school, and he just busts through everyone. Yeah, but
Mean on defense, but with the ball in hand, he isn't the same our usual, what he's like.
He's funny the way he runs. He's just like a robot.
Couture is fucking mean. If they can get him running to the one-on-one with the ball, especially against these guys like Walker and Kiri, they'll be tested by Katoa coming back in. Run to these guys. I think too many outs for wristers for me. You look at that forward pack, and there's only like Brandy Smith, Radley, and Lindsay Collins.
Joshua Wong was awesome.
Yeah, bro. So he's a good one coming through.
And he did awesome to cover in the centres too with the injuries.
They got quite some on the bench. Keep an eye on. It's a hard one, eh? I think they still got Smith and Collins. So, and with Radley, you might have to say they almost got an edge on paper, that is.
But you throw in there the fact that they got towed up
last week. Even that fucking battle in the spines is top notch. Names: Kiri, Walker, Tedesco versus Jerome Hughes, Munster, Harry Grant, and Brendan Smith. This could be like a cost of a coin for me. Toss of a coin. I'm gonna say Storm, bro.
Yeah.
Like I said, man. I don't know, man. 50-50.
Game of like pretty much a forwards and backs. Like, you look at the forwards, and like you say, maybe the Roosters have a bit of an edge. Harry Grant's huge. I don't know if Brandon Smith, the way Harry Grant's been going, I think Brandon Smith nullifies him. Like, you kind of cancel each other out.
He had a poor game, and he's a lot faster than
Smith. Harry Grant's had a few poor games. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Throughout the season, they've been very unstorm-like. Like, everyone's talked up Harry, but you know, he's just done enough, but he hasn't like lit the competition on fire as the number one.
That's fair. Yeah.
So you kind of look and think, well, yeah, maybe the Roosters just take it on the forwards. Liero, after showing last week, you know, kind of matching up against Siwa Wong after his performance, and then Victor Radley. So yeah, in the forwards, you kind of give it to the Roosters, but then just with the injuries, Fikalenga Ponga, new name, I don't know. All the best to the kid. But yeah, I think just with some of the Storm experience in the back there, probably going to come out over the top. So yeah, probably looking at a real backline focused attack from the Storm. I think if they try and take them up front, I think the Roosters might actually come over the top on this. So it'll be interesting, though, the game plan. But definitely has to be the Storm bouncing back after last week and those. Just those injuries, I think, is going to be too much for them to overcome.
And not a huge surprise either if Roosters come on top, bro, because still some quality names, man. Remember, obviously, he's quite experienced. He's coming back getting another go at it because of Joseph Manu out there. So if the Storm are quite lucky that the Roosters aren't at full strength because there are so many outs for the Roosters.
Yeah.
Not funny, man. Billy Smith, who's been going awesome at centre. Swalee was coming into some form. Manu was just Joseph Manu, bro. So, yeah, bro, that's us, eh? Storm in a close one.
Yeah, and I think either of those teams, Panthers are enjoying their break. I think they're more than confident.
These two teams showing anything that can trouble the Panthers?
No. Well, that's the thing. Like, off the back of what we've seen all season, and even in this final series, as much as they were gutsy, and probably the outs for the Roosters as well. Like, again, finals team.
I think maybe the Roosters, I think Storm, like just recently, Panthers have had their number, bro. I don't see them having enough in their artillery to go against the Panthers. But in the Roosters, they might have the style to rough them up.
Yeah, I think style-wise, the nothing Roosters to lose. Might be able to kind of, shake it up.
And they're on a run,
Sam Walker brilliance.
But that's a long reach. Like, for me, Panthers... number one still for me ranked team, especially after their performance on the weekend. So it's possible these two teams have to go another few levels to get to where the Panthers are at. So, and that's the damn truth, man. So Panthers won't be too fast looking at these two teams, mate.
Nice.
They'd be like fucking Jim Kelly and Enter the Dragon. You know who Jim Kelly is, eh? Mr. Williams. For me,
you're Jim Carrey. All right, going to the second game, the game that you're probably most interested in, the Warriors and the Knights at home. So Warriors decided to go with GIO Stadium. Awesome call. I don't think many of the Wilds fans truly wanted to go to Eden Park. I think coverage wise, and probably more people that are interested in the Warriors at the moment probably.
What's that? That's that Mount Smart or
Mount Smart? Yeah, GIO. Oh. So that's Mount Smart Stadium. So tickets went on sale.
GIO. What are? Oh, Go Stadium. What are they? Go Media.
Go Media. Oh, Go Media. I think that's the new name for Kailo. I don't know.
Okay. Well, back at Mount Smart, how much do you? What does it sell out there now? 30?
So Mount Smart originally, I think it's you get 25 most. Then they can put up those chairs. So I don't know if they're going to open up some more sales because the tickets went on sale and they were gone in 3 minutes. So ain't no one getting a chance.
That's awesome. On Saturday, 4 o'clock. Oh, wow.
So prime time. Game. So this is an awesome game for the Warriors. 6 o'clock game, New Zealand time. Playing here. Huge one. I guess we've already talked it up. Both teams, what they're bringing. Both teams looking like they're playing, other than the changes to the halves, it's pretty much man for man what they played last week. Going with no Bunty again. So I wasn't really happy with that kind of rotation, what they're trying to change to, like you're saying, just a more mobile kind of forward pack. So I don't know if Bunty's carrying an injury. Just an interesting change. Like I think size-wise, they kind of missed it out there. But then you look at the Knights forwards, probably other than Saifidi and Hetherington, they're a bit more mobile in their forwards as well. So maybe that's probably why, just the longevity to try and play a bit more fitter. I guess in terms of the seasons, you know, and kind of the lead up. So I guess there's two ways to look at this game. I'm looking at it. The Knights have had an awesome run, but then again, you know, we've kind of won for one throughout this year, and form plays a big part of it. I think Johnson. It's real hard to tell, being out for the amount of time he's been out. So that's 3 weeks Yeah, 3 weeks he's been out now, so that's a long break from footy. Can do a bit to your form. First time coming back to his combination with Tamaire Martin. But I think Canberra gave us a really good template and kind of the game that we like to play in the forwards. So I think if we model it off that, I think we've got the attack to kind of finish it off and actually get some more points in there.
Yeah, bro. Well, so do Newcastle, man. And this is going to be such an awesome game, bro. Attack-wise, most come down to who's got the tougher, what team's willing to do the dirtier work.
Who's wanting to go there?
Yeah, defend. Yeah, and defend their asses off because plenty of points in this game. Biggest difference for the Warriors is having Sean Johnson and so now it allows them to have to almost add in like two or three more ways where they can score off his boot, score off those block plays where he can really get the ball out to his edges, and then having a go on his own. You see him come to the end of the games where he's just coming off that right foot and testing the markers, testing guys on the inside. So he brings that element of when you're defending a mate, you just like sit back, like what he's going to do, what he's going to do. And like all the great players, makes, you know, Warriors were guilty of some unforced errors. He'll bring a calm to the team. I almost compared to what Reynolds does for Broncos. What a good half can bring is that calmness, the general. When I say this word general, like
doesn't matter
if you're half or whatever position, was players in a team that can bring confidence or almost relax players. So they don't lose anything with Martin as well. I don't know if I think maybe they'll just keep to these sides of the field. I think Johnson's still got still got to have a go on both sides of the pitch here. You know, Harris and Johnson, I think maybe they outdo Newcastle Knights in that middle part of the field, so they can get some points in there. It's whether these Warriors outsides, I think it'll come down to these edges, bro, these edge defenders. You look at Berry, look at Pompey. Guys like Jackson Ford and Neil Cody, they're gonna have Ponga coming at them at speed, bro. And like I said, it will come down to the back, man. I think Warriors for me have probably shown a bit more stiffness in the defense. As I'm saying that, the Knights have impressed, but they've also been involved in a lot of high-scoring, free-flowing games. So if the Warriors can nullify that and make it a dogfight, we'll go a long way to slowing down Ponga. But Ponga's just showing how dangerous he is. He can make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, Usa.
I think that's Warriors, the biggest threat.
It won't be
threat,
easy,
like,
man. It won't be easy.
I definitely won't. Like, I don't see you know, these do-or-die games blowing out. I think it's going to be real close. And I think that's a threat for me too, is our Kiwi, any of our Kiwi boys that get to play back here, as much as it's a bit of a mission, like we were talking before, for these Australian teams to make the trek here, kind of get, you know, used to being in Auckland in our environment and stuff. But the New Zealanders seem to get up. You look at the way Hargreaves plays whenever he comes here. You look at any Kiwi when they get to play against the Warriors. It's almost, almost like an up yours to Auckland rugby. Or
yeah, just, so you're talking about Warriors.
Yeah, Ponga, and even Crosland. I think even Crosland might kind of put in a little dig, like, hey, you remember I'm a Kiwi, man, like I'm here. Because, yeah, I guess they're going to see this. Phoenix Crosland, he's Wellington born. Yeah, he's a Kiwi born. Yeah, so he could be a late runner for that Kiwis team, backup Brandon Smith.
Wow, bro. If you ask me, he's had a better season than Smith. Mm-hmm. Fuck, he'd be my starting line.
Yeah, so those boys could threaten. If anything, I think hopefully the Warriors have been practicing that field goal. There's that vision of Jermaine Isako. Those guys, there was one game, the Dolphins earlier in the season, I don't know if it was against the Titans, and they took a drop goal, and they did a two-pass, so they're real close to the line, and so usually it happened to Canberra. They were like within the 10, and they're like, oh, they're too close now unless you do a real deep pass. But they went two passes deep, so they had a fake. I think it was Nikurima took the first catch and then passed it back double to Jermaine. So Jermaine's on the 30 and takes an easy drop goal. So, yeah, that vision of just setting up and making sure you're giving, because then it's just so much further for teams to chase. Like, I'm surprised not many teams have kind of, that was earlier in the season too, and no one's kind of caught onto that or used the same tactics. So
it might possibly come down to the similar fucking situation, man. This is going to go down to the wire, bro.
Yeah, it will.
Knights have got the form of winning these kind of games. It was such a mean game last week.
I think that Warriors home crowd will bring them back, though. Like, yeah, Warriors at crowd. Home.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to limb and I'm going to say they probably deserve it. Knights have been an awesome, awesome run of games, but I'm going to say Warriors by two and a tight one. Purely because of the fact the home ground. Home crowd's going to get them back. Sean Johnson, this is his time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I guess that's the thing. Whether he's 100%, the reports are that he's going to be okay to play. He trained by himself today. He'll train by himself tomorrow just so he can focus on what he needs to. So real interesting. They're really trying to look after him. So it doesn't sound like he's 100%, but I guess this is the game. No point waiting for next week. You play this week.
I would love a fucking Warriors Broncos packed game.
Unfortunate. Like, that was something I was hoping that there was a way for a Warriors Broncos final at Suncorp. So they also that would have been mean to be there with you, but yeah, the Warriors. I picked the Warriors to go ahead, but I think yeah, we're playing our final with you guys next week. However, that'll be the last time our two teams meet. So,
but I love the story of the Knights. Also, I love the story of the Knights. It's like
I think one thing again know.
Could be not overalls.
Again,
young team.
So I think there's a thing for the Knights. It'll be a fairy tale because Stacey brought it up earlier. The record for a team straight wins in a row to a final series is 11. So Panthers were kind of on that same kind of trajectory.
So they're coming up to it. So if they win the grand final, that's the record.
Well, yeah. So the Warriors is going to be their 11th game. They win the Warriors scalp. They need to go for the final dance. If they win the final dance, so they win. So it's a lot of history. There's a lot kind of things that distractions as well. But, you know, they can make – you know, they've had a fairy tale run from where they started. So, you know, if they want to keep those fairy tales again, yeah, it comes down to the team that wants it. You know, what story have the Warriors guys been selling each other? You know, what have they been
saying?
How about
this for finishers, bro? Dylan Martinez-Lesniak versus Dominic Young. Oh, fuck. These guys have been pulling out some mean finishing tries.
Yeah, yeah.
You got
two
of the best. These guys can propel their fucking gingles, their bodies.
Especially Dom Young for a big guy to
the fucking corner flag and still place the ball down in the corner. There's been some awesome tries from these two, you know. I think I put my hand up and said these are probably the two of the most athletic finishers, bro. Just look at this talent on board, bro. Ponga versus Sean Johnson. That's what we've come down to, yours.
Yeah, and you know, Adam Clune, you know, that I don't know if that'll be clunky getting used to, but again, he's no slouch. They won back to back when Clune was in for a couple of weeks against the Roosters.
Nah, they won't lose something from Clune. And then the Rabbits. Played a similar game to what Hastings has been doing.
To Hastings. So he's got a good kicking game as well.
Like I said, these guys aren't strong halves. They do enough. Ponga elevates their game. And his job is to get the kicking game down packed and feed Ponga when he wants the ball, man, in space.
Yeah, so this is going to be a real interesting game. Dane Gagai, man. So they've got some real champs in there. You look at their centres. So I mentioned our centres were probably lacking a bit in Rocco Berry and Adam Pompey. And now they're facing Dane Gagai and Bradman Best too. Wow.
What a Bradman, game Gagai had.
A recent
had a
origin,
game.
Yeah. But a recent origin centre. And stuff. Dane Gagai, a legend in centre for origin for Queensland. So And Gagai had a, by his standards, he had a rubbish game last week. He had a few little mistakes. He got that try, but man, he gave Raiders every chance to win with some of his mistakes through that
game. Yeah, I'd have to say the dangerous halves, you guys, between Martin and Johnson, just what ball play these two can do over Gamble and Clune.
Mm.
But Knights definitely make it up out wide. I think they probably got the best of you in the three quarters of, between Gagai, Best, Maju, and Young, and definitely Ponga. That's no disrespect to the Warriors back four, but I just think Barry and Pompey, they're still newbies in this competition, still finding their feet, and they haven't played their first best football. But coming up against Bradman Best and Gagai's a legend. Bradman Best is on form, so looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Up the Waz, eh?
Up the Waz. All right. So, after our wrap, like I said, I'd come back to you. You still confident on it after everything we said that it's going to end with a Panthers-Broncos final?
Yep. I think these two teams have done well to cement and get that confidence in their game. And so cement their position in the first week of the finals. And they've deserved it. They've probably played the most consistent footy and have played enough football at the higher. I think out of all games on the weekend, we had two elimination finals, which were exciting. Mm. But in terms of quality, I think Panthers and Broncos, especially the Broncos, the Panthers, to keep them at the Kōngaki, I think they just elevated their games to a grand final, prelim final vibe, where they can perform it. And it's up to the winner of these next two games. They've got to play that level on this elimination finals coming up. And then, you know what? It comes down to the prelim final. Four teams, fuck, it's only 50-50, man.
Yeah, man. So, it's going to be exciting. I agree with you. Like we spoke with Stace earlier in one of the other episodes, just how long the NRL season is. But man, like to be consistent for that long, both these teams, you know, you've gone through your whole season. I think there was a few drops in the table when the Rabbits got up to number one. What we saw last week. Is pretty much why these teams are positioned where they are. You know, just, you know, one and two, sitting where one and two kind of deservedly, markedly ahead of the rest too. So,
and I think the rest, it gives them another edge as well, man.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the thing.
I think it's the players that prefer the rest.
Yeah. So it'll be after real interesting.
After a long, arduous season, I think I get where they're coming from, bro, you know. Mm. They're already fit. They don't need the extra training.
Yeah.
And, you just saw on the weekend what they gave their stars the rest for the last game of the year, you know. So that's another good thing from what the Broncos did. What Kiwi did was,
The thing.
Gladly rest them their last game of the year, lose the minor premiership, but to have a performance like focus that, thank you. We're the prelims now. So, yeah, looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Nice. Shuttles, good rap, man. Yeah, go the Waz. Hopefully we're there to meet you next time we talk, bro. But thanks for jumping on and giving us a rap, Puls.
Any last words, man? For everyone, enjoy all the sports going around the world, man. Up the ABs. I ain't giving up. Up the ABs, up the money. Go the Bronx.
Nice. Also, thanks, guys. Hey, thanks for tuning in. You can check out all our content on www.wizwiznet.com. You'll be able to find all the other podcasts there. Go check out the Counter Ruck. The boys are breaking down the World Cup at the moment. You'll be able to get an update and their breakdown on all the pools, especially all the Pacifica teams. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you soon. All right. Bye.
Bye.